This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, we talk about cell phone companies' crap, tweets of doom and death, and Apple releasing another cat into the wild. Stay tuned. You're tuned in to Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me as always is the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, welcome back to another week of fabulous fun and fantastic, funiculars. I just like that word. You know what word?
Technosity.
Technosity, that is a fantastic word.
Oh, that is, yeah, we need to tie that in somehow from now on.
You know, technosity.
I don't even know what it means.
You know what word I caught myself saying the other day for no apparent reason whatsoever? Haberdasher.
Haberdasher.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a haberdasher is a person who sells small articles. You know, like they sell needles, thread, buttons, ribbons, zippers,
okay,
things like that. People who sell things to make like clothing and stuff is a haberdasher, and you know the stores that they sell these things out of are called haberdasheries.
Interesting. Is this random Wikipedia knowledge?
I guess you could call it Wikipedia knowledge. I've never actually tried to look up haberdasher on Wikipedia, to be completely honest. So, but yeah, it's just, I don't even know where I picked up the word. But yeah, just one day, started saying it to myself and then started saying it to everybody else. Anyway, way off topic. Way off topic like a haberdasher. We've got a couple things to hit this week. First is going to be cell phone news. Yay! Everyone loves cell phone news, except for when we don't. The first one, we do. Sprint has launched an early upgrade promo, basically to keep all those customers that they lost or were starting to lose whenever they got rid of their one-year upgrades. Now, what it does is basically, and this is only for a limited time, it starts February 12th, which has already happened, and goes through April 14th. What this does is basically they have a chart on Engadget that shows all of the basically the how much it would cost you to upgrade for your upgrade fee and how many months you have to be with them. Now, if you've been in your contract less than 8 months or 8 months, you are not eligible, so don't even try. If you've been in your contract 9 to 11 months, your upgrade fee is $165. A little steep, but it's better than an early termination fee. 12 to 14 months, it's $125. 15 to 17 months, $95. 18 to 21 months is $55. That's a pretty good deal. That's not bad. After 22 months, you're eligible for the regular upgrade, which is only $36 upgrade fee. So, what do you think about this? Is this actually what I think it is, and that's a ploy to keep those customers who are mad because their 1 year upgrades are gone?
Yeah. Though I don't know why they would even bother doing that, because where would those customers go? AT&T? Yeah, right. Yeah. Verizon? No. T-Mobile? Good luck getting service. So, yeah. I don't know what they're. Like, they're definitely trying to patch a problem that's not really a problem.
Yeah. Now, see, if I wasn't interested in what iPhone was going to be coming out this year, I would be very tempted to take this and go run with it and get me an iPhone 4S for a $55 upgrade fee. But I know Apple too well. I'm going to wait.
Yep.
If you can't hit it on launch day, you might as well just wait.
Yep. Well, and this was great for the Android believes in that or believes that they have to have the best, newest, greatest technology of the time, great for Android, because really, I mean, every 3 minutes a new Android phone launches that is more powerful and greater than the last. So, for those customers who, you know, went and bought the Galaxy Nexus and or whatever the original Galaxy was, and now want to get the newest one, well, here's your opportunity for pocket change, really, in regards to cell phones.
Yeah, very true. It's pretty good. My hat's off to Sprint. This is a good way to keep customers around for another 2 years. All right, and that was the good. We're not going to even have a bad. We're going to go straight to the ugly, because they are ugly, ugly people. is, of course, AT&T. Dun, dun, dun. Can't stand them. Anyway, AT&T recently on February 12th. Our episode this week is a little late, and we're sorry, but hey, you know, it was Valentine's Day, and that's just how it is. You know? Just how it is. So, on the 12th, AT&T doubled their upgrade fees. Now, technically, I'm not sure exactly what Verizon's upgrade fee is, but now they're on par with Sprint, because Sprint recently doubled their upgrade fee.
Which is... It seems to be par for the course. If I remember correctly, Verizon is that also.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is actually not too long ago, AT&T jumped to up to $26. So this is another $10 increase, more or less, in a fairly short period of time. And, of course, they're using the same old excuse. Devices are more expensive and more complicated, even though nowadays your Gmail syncs all of your information, your iTunes backs it all up. I don't exactly see where this fee comes in beyond somebody needed a pay raise.
Yeah, that, I mean, just, I hate to say it, but just corporate greed in general. You know, I mean, for a company as big as AT&T, it's corporate greed.
Yep.
I mean, I can understand it coming from, like, T-Mobile. If they did it, then it would be the fact of, you know, they don't have that many customers, so that's not as big of a gain for them. AT&T has so many customers. Doubling this is just a ridiculous amount of money. I can't even imagine. I mean, it's millions upon millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. You know? I'm surprised they didn't do it before the launch of the new iPhone, to be completely honest.
It's very true.
But they did manage to squeak it in before all the Android 4.0 phones. So,
isn't that sweet of them?
Oh, yeah.
The bastards. All right. This next story is kind of somber. Let me ask you this, Sam. What if I told you, depending on what you tweeted, now that you're getting into Twitter, depending on what you tweeted, you could be killed for it. Dun, dun, dun.
I would probably go back to not using Twitter, to be completely honest.
Very true. Very true. Now, in this country, you can pretty much tweet whatever you want and not get any trouble. Granted, if you were to tweet something really bad, like threatening a government official, you could very quite possibly get in, you know, huge trouble for that. But, I mean, then again, that government official, you can get in trouble for doing anything that threatens them.
Don't ever... The key thing is in America, on Twitter, on Facebook, on anywhere on the internet, don't mention the government.
Yeah, it's
especially
a bad
don't
idea.
Mention the government with any word that could mean explosive and or gun.
Oh yeah, like there was a couple of European tourists who tweeted before they got to America. They tweeted, "Going to destroy America, can't wait." And the thing is, they actually got detained and sent back to Europe because it was just a misconstrued term. Because in Europe, destroy means have fun, you know, party, rock out.
Yeah. And anyone who has gone to a frat house or anything college related, even in America, knows what that means.
Exactly. Thank you, stuffy government agencies.
Yep.
Now, what I'm talking about here is a case, and I don't even want to really say this guy's name because it makes me feel bad that I'm going to mess it up. Hamza I could say that's probably his first name. Kashgari, I'm assuming. He's a young Saudi Arabian journalist, and he tweeted a back and forth conversation, theoretical, between him and Allah, which in Muslim belief, that is a huge no-no. Huge. And basically, a lot of the clerics and, just the religious leaders of the Muslim faith over there are wanting him put to death for this.
It is a criminal offense executable by death.
Yes.
And that is...
I mean, it's basically what they're saying, it's blasphemy, which, I mean, is true. You know, it's not... The guy did do it, and, I mean, the tweets... If you take the Muslim faith and the fact that, like, one of his tweets said something along the lines of, "I'll shake your hand as equals," and, I mean, that's blasphemy right there in most beliefs, because you're not an equal to the people you worship, and, you know, this kind of thing. So... It was blasphemy. He fled the country, and he actually went to Malaysia. Now, Malaysia actually deported him, or extradited him back to Saudi Arabia. So he is awaiting trial right now. The tweets have since been deleted, of course. I mean, they're not going to let those stay up. Now, there were, within 24 hours, there were like 30,000 tweets for this. Most of them were saying he needed to be wiped off the face of the earth. Facebook has a page for it. Someone set up a Facebook page. It has like 20,000 members. Not many people are defending this guy. There are a lot of, there are a few people who are defending him. But the number of people who aren't and are wanting him completely condemned is a much higher ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I understand it's a completely different country, completely different belief structure. You know, you can't judge them too harshly.
The thing is that, I mean, every major religion has gone through this phase. And it's easier now because we have governments and airplanes and everything to extradite people back. Christianity, they used to slaughter people left and right for blasphemies.
Inquisition?
Catholicism. Oh, yeah, the Inquisition. Yeah. Judaism, it's very common in this line of religion for it. The problem is nowadays, it's too easy it's too easy to get access to people now. Where in a complete and total world that values free speech, the little dark corners that still don't, it's really hard to hide from them whenever you step on their toes. And it's, effectively, yeah. This was, and some of his writing was effectively, could be construed as just fanfic in regards to his writing about Muhammad.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just literally fanfic.
And I will correct myself. I will correct myself. I said Allah at one point, I believe. It is Muhammad.
Yes.
Which is a prophet of Allah. Aha.
Yes.
I know a couple Muslims. now, like I said, you can't really judge them too harshly because, yeah, just like you said, every religion goes through this phase and it's just the culture.
They're about 2,000 years behind the game.
That's
their religion was even around 2,000 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, I understand it's blasphemy, but I mean, wow, really? The death penalty? I mean, deport him and completely banish him from the country and do whatever you have to do to get him out of the Muslim faith and just to send him away. Killing him is a little bit. It's a little bit over
a little bit outdated.
just a smidge.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, it's completely different culture and belief system, but man, it's something to think about for everyone who whines that their free speech is being slowly taken away. Imagine if you didn't have it at all. We fight really hard for free speech around here because obviously the 8 Days of Geek Media team is nothing but free speech. So, we fight really hard for it. And this kind of a story just makes me stumble. It makes I can't even.
What's more is we are completely helpless to help him. Even to begin something to where, say, we wanted to set something up, the backlash that is going to come from that would be tremendous. And that's what really sucks.
Very true. He broke the law, you know. I mean, it was a law. And, it's crappy, but, you know, it's something to think about. Just as a, you know, as Americans, it's something definitely to think about. The fact that you can bash whoever you want. I can go on Twitter right now and say, I'm at a freaking Pope, and not get in any trouble whatsoever. But this guy posts a theoretical conversation between him and the Prophet Muhammad, and he's on the chopping block. So, I mean, it's theoretically, it's not really a tech story, but Twitter was involved, so I felt it needed to be discussed. All right, we're going to get off that somber note, because that makes me sad. And we're going to go. You notice I haven't had any flawless segues tonight because none of these stories are related in any way. I can't even fake a segue.
Actually, there would have been one between Sprint and AT&T. I was actually surprised you didn't do that.
Yeah, but those stories were kind of short. It would have been a good. It's a segue, but it's not a flawless segue. Yeah,
no, this is true. I'll agree with you on that.
All right, Apple did something that surprised us all. There was not. This came out of left field. Just I didn't see it coming at all. It's OS X Mountain Lion. That is OS X 10.8. Right now we're at Lion. That is 10.7. Point blah blah blah. Now Mountain Lion is going to. And you'll notice I said OS X Mountain Lion, not Mac OS X. They actually took the Mac off of the operating system now, because there are more features being merged in from iOS into OS X. We'll go over a couple of them. Now, some of the big ones, iCloud, for instance, there's going to be a lot more integration with iCloud. You'll have the complete syncing features that you have on OS X right now. You're talking mail, contacts, calendars, bookmarks, notes, photo stream, documents, accounts, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. You know, you don't get anything special out of it, but you get the exact same syncing features. That's kind of neat. I don't use iCloud really that much, but I'm sure some people do. Something that is really interesting to me, and I'm looking forward to it, is now you instead of iChat, which has had a really good run, instead of making iChat look more like iMessage, Apple has decided to completely do away with iChat, and now you have Messages. It works basically the same way, but the layout and the formatting is a lot more like iMessage. It's little bubbles, and you know, you send pictures in line and all kinds of goodies. So that looks like it's going to be one of my favorite features so far. But there are a couple good ones, so we'll go over the rest of them here. Interject if you want to talk about any of these, Sam. I tend to ramble on when it comes to Apple stuff.
Just so if people who want kind of an idea of what the messages reminds me of is Google Voice. It seems to serve almost the exact same function plus pictures. So Google Voice messaging. I say Google Voice, and I'm sure everybody thought phone calls, but the messaging part of Google Voice, that seems to be its basic layout.
Gotcha. Hey, that does look pretty close.
Yeah. Actually, it confused me because the picture actually has a Gmail account there. I was a little confused.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's see here. The next thing on our list here is Reminders. This one is going to be kind of fun to have. I have a to-do app on my Mac right now. This will hopefully do away with that. Reminders basically is exactly what it sounds like. A lot of these apps are pretty much exactly ported over from iOS. I mean, they do exactly the same things. They even look the same. So Reminders is basically a to-do list. You set in a thing and a due date, and it has a check mark. You check it, it goes away. You know, to-do list. Same thing you've always gotten. Nothing really special there. The next thing is Notes. On iOS, of course, you get the little legal pad that you can jot notes down on real quick. On the Mac version, you get the same legal pad, including the little teared sheets at the top. It's kind of neat. But you also get a search menu and a list of your notes. This is going to come in handy, I believe, for students and stuff like that. I mean, being able to jot down, and journalists, I mean, I'll use this, I use TextEdit right now just to jot down really quick notes, but this will make it a little easier because I can slap in some images and all kinds of goodies in there. This next one is actually the most glaring, and it'll be interesting. I really am looking forward to it. If it's done correctly, which, I mean, it's Apple, they figure things out so down to the minute iota that it's going to be done correctly. That's Notification Center. Now, instead of having your average growl, which is what I use, a little notification pops up at a certain point in your screen showing you when you have, you know, certain things like a Twitter message or anything like that. Now, you'll have the whole notification center that you have on iOS 5, where up next to your spotlight icon, and Mac users, you know what I'm talking about, it's up in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, you'll have a little target. You hit that, and it'll bring down a notification bar, and it will show you like your new emails, your tweets, anything that can, you know, any of the standard Mac apps will automatically be able to use this. And I'm sure all kinds of apps will get in on it, you know. So, I mean, that'll be really cool. I'm really hoping it does it well. You know, it has the possibility of being kind of jiggered wrong, but I think Apple will do it correctly.
Well, considering that HP and WebOS has had it since, you know, last summer or this past summer, yeah, you know. They've had something to go on.
Gotta throw in that, don't you?
It's our notification system. It's ours.
You know,
it's our designers. They hired our designers.
You know what? Android has had that since the very beginning.
Oh, and the drag down.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
See, well, now WebOS from launch at 2009 had the notifications along the bottom that you could read interactively.
Ooh.
While still working in your other apps. You didn't have to drag down and block your screen.
Oh, you darn WebOS users.
I know. To this day, if only Palm had had more money,
that's very
how
true.
Different the world would be.
If only the good companies had more money. Yeah. Let's see.
Now Google has our GUI designer, and I can't remember his name right now. And that's Ice Cream Sandwich is, you know, more or less completely designed by the guy who created WebOS's user interface.
All your engineers belong to us.
Yep. And Apple has our notification designers. They hired them when they left HP.
It's awesome.
Good to see it living on in other places.
Hey, that looks familiar. It's kind of the Skyrim guard thing. Hey, I know you.
Yep.
One of the other.
At least whenever WebOS is finally and completely gone and I move on to another system, they'll have become WebOS more or less.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you'll get bits and pieces here and there.
Yep.
One of the other features that's on there is share sheets. This, I'm not really. I could take it or leave it. Share sheets allows you to take a web page and share it not only to your reading list and your bookmarks and your email, like you were always able to do, but you can also share it via message and Twitter. So, yeah, how hard is it to copy and paste a URL? I don't need. I don't think. I mean, having another button is okay, but it's only in Safari at this point, and I don't use Safari, so it's completely useless to me. Mm-hmm. Twitter has been wound into iOS quite a bit more now that we've had iOS 5.0. Well, you will also have Twitter wound into your OS X now. It'll be more into the actual operating system itself, allowing you to tweet from different apps and different positions in the operating system. That I'm looking forward to because I'm trying to use Twitter more and more. And, you know, so are you. I know you don't use Mac, but you're trying to use Twitter.
Yes. I find it really difficult to use Twitter I'm more interested in reading what everyone else is posting than posting something. And then I forget to retweet interesting posts. Yeah, I'm just not very good at it yet. There's definitely a learning curve to Twitter.
And there's a free time issue. Because if you're like me and you multitask constantly, there are times when you actually forget that you have a task going on, period. You know, I'll be listening to a podcast and writing an article, and I'll think of something I should tweet, and by the time I've finished one of those tasks, I've completely just put Twitter out of my mind. So,
where if you had if you had an iPhone and Siri, then you could just say, Siri, tweet this, or however it is they do that.
Siri can't tweet yet.
Oh, Siri can't tweet?
No, I don't believe Siri can tweet yet. No. Sounds kind of dumb, really. But no, it can't.
Well, it's got to be an issue with the API then in regards to Siri accessing the content.
Maybe. I don't know. I've thought that was dumb since the very beginning. Because that's like the one thing I would really like it to do. So.
Well, then at least worst case scenario, you can have it take a note.
That's true.
And copy paste later.
Extra steps. Well, I don't have an iPhone, so booyah.
Yeah.
I just use voice actions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got another few features here. Nothing incredibly. A lot of them are going to taper off here. We've got Game Center. This one hasn't been a lot. There hasn't been a lot of reporting on it because it's not completely done yet. Same thing as iOS. It keeps track of your high scores, plays multiplayer games against other people, and this one will allow you to do voice chats. So, eh. I mean, most games have that built in anyway. Why do you need to add it in OS-wise? AirPlay mirroring for your display. That's kind of cool. If you have an Apple TV, you can mirror your Mac's display to your TV. That might be interesting for watching movies or just, having a huge freaking monitor. If you've got a 60-inch TV, that Safari icon would be like a foot long, a foot wide. That would be kind of nice. There's a couple other things. Like, these are really inside baseball. One thing is called the Gatekeeper. Basically, it's a certificate authentication system for anyone who wants to develop apps for the App Store and apps for Mac in general. It doesn't just have to be the App Store. Now, what you'll be able to do is, as a user, you can select up to three different security settings, each of them in different, extremely tough security, moderate security, no security, that kind of thing. And what it will do is every app has a certificate written into it. And in order to install apps that don't have certificates, you'll have to take your security down a little bit. Those certificates are handed out by Apple, so you know those apps will be safe. It's just another way of Apple keeping things safe for the people who don't want to experiment. I'm glad, however, they did leave it open for those of us who really don't want that feature. I mean, that it's interesting, but I have no use for that because I always check what apps I'm downloading anyway. We've got all kinds
of... I will jump on this one. I don't know if I exactly like that. At the same time, it's really no different than Windows. Are you sure you want to do this? Constantly popping up. So,
oh, yeah. UAC.
Yes.
User account control.
Which I turn off automatically every single time I reinstall my operating system.
Every time.
Yes.
It's the first thing to go. I remember when they made it, it wasn't easy to turn that off. It's still not the easiest thing in the world to turn off.
No, it is not. It is something that
you have to do
Windows 7.
You have to do an MS config, don't you?
Not anymore. There is a way. They have it in the control panel now.
Well, isn't that nice of them?
Yeah, but good luck finding a control panel. Yep.
Oh, Windows.
Yeah, they're really working on it.
For 26 years.
Oh, well, actually, they're throwing that all out the door with Windows 8 anyway, so.
True. All right. Well, really, that's about the end of them. To wrap it up, there are some really interesting additions, some not so interesting additions. To me, it feels like it's just another, you know, it's just another bridge between two major versions. Basically, you know, Leopard was a main version. Snow Leopard improved on it, but didn't change an unbelievable amount of stuff. And then Lion was a main version. So now this one's going to change a lot of stuff, but not improve the operating system leaps and bounds. Will I buy it? Most definitely. Will I install it? Most definitely. Do I hope that it comes on some kind of regular media so that I don't have to download it and hack it onto a thumb drive for all my computers? Yeah, quite a bit. So, I just upgraded my wife's MacBook Pro to Lion last night, actually. So, she'd been holding out on Snow Leopard the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, she had like 30-something updates before I could actually update the computer, so... That's how that works.
Yep.
All right. That's about all we have for today, this week. We'll be coming back at you a little sooner because we'll go back to our normal schedule next week. So, Sam, go ahead and tell people where they can find, follow, and stalk you.
You can find me on Twitter at The Manatee Man. I am using it. I do post at least once a day, generally rambling about something or talking to a random person. And I do talk to people, so feel free just to hold normal conversations or tech conversations. I'm up for anything. You can get me at manateeman@gmail.com, Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com. I still have not made any other profiles on anything else, so good luck finding me anywhere else. Which, I'll say this, if I get to 30 followers on Twitter, then I will pick a random other social network that people use and create a profile for myself. Right now, I think I'm at like 18 or 19 followers, which is a huge increase from like the 13 I had 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm working my way up in the Twitter world.
Yeah.
And none of them are spam bots, surprisingly.
Yeah, see, thing is, with me, Brandon, our senior editor, is trying to basically pimp me out on Twitter. He's trying to make people follow me. It's not working so well. I don't know why no one follows me. People follow him all the time, and he is kind of a media whore. He's constantly plugging things, and me, I don't. I always say pretty interesting stuff. I retweet the things that need to be retweeted. And I don't know. People just don't like me. Anyway,
yeah, it's the it's definitely the name Pin of Doom.
Maybe it is. Maybe they're afraid.
Yeah. See, I'm a cute, cuddly animal man.
Cute, cuddly animal man. It's awesome. All right. For me, Jesse at 8daysofgeek.com. Obviously, Pin of Doom on Twitter. You can go to about.me/Jesse Miller if you want to see all of my stuff. I'm on pretty much every social network known to man. If you'd like to call and leave a voicemail or send us a text, we would love to hear from our listeners. The number is 754-273-6397. And just in case you're still reeling over that whole Twitter debacle, that number is 754-273-6397. All right, guys, join us next week when we'll talk about all that other tech stuff, and hopefully there's a lot of it to talk about. I can't wait. Sam, do you want to say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Nice. Actually said it.
I learned from last week.
What happened next last week?
Was it last week that you told me to say something a very specific way and then yell at me for not saying it that way?
Oh, that's right. That's right, because you were a bastard.
Yeah, my memory's better than you.
Well, that's for certain. We'll go with that. All right. See you guys next week. Okay.